Only believe, Jesus, you're here. Jesus, you're here. All things are possible now that you're here. Jesus, you're here. Jesus, you're here, and all things are possible now that you're here.
Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear gracious Father, we're a privileged people, Lord, to come together in thy name. Believing, Father, you have come down with a shout, which is a message, Father, which we would only know that because a vindicated prophet told us so. That the shout is a message. And believing that the message is to get us ready for the going home, or for the rapture first, the change of the body first, which is the voice and then the trump of the going home. Lord, we believe these things because we have thus saith the Lord, that they're true. And you backed up that prophet with his thus saith the Lord. So Father, we commit our lives to thee. We commit this service to thee. We ask you, Lord, to help us as we move forward in the study. Christ is the mystery of God revealed. We pray, Father, you'd help us to shed light upon the words of your prophet and help us, Father, as we take them back to the Scripture. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Tonight I'm going to do a lot of reading from paragraph 60 through paragraph 75 of Christ is the mystery of God revealed. And we're going to cover a whole lot of ground tonight. But this is to get us ready in our minds and our hearts to go deeper into the next 15 paragraphs from Christ as mystery of God revealed. But tonight, we're just going to comment as we go along. And so I'm going to open up from paragraph 60. If you have your little booklets with you, Christ as mystery of God revealed, open them up to paragraph 60. And where Brother Branham has just read from Luke 24, where Jesus was talking to Cleopas and the other disciple on the road to Emmaus. And as we pick up at paragraph 60, he says, "Now, the reason I never took to preach this morning was because I thought in teaching we would understand it better than just to take a text and skip over it. We just teach it." Now, in other words, Brother Branham is saying that basically, if you're really going to get a good understanding of it, you've got to teach it. You can't just be preaching because preaching motivates and stirs the soul and the heart, but you've really got to have teaching as well to place it positionally, as Brother Branham said, a teacher can take the word to a depth or a degree that a pastor or evangelist can never do. So it's important that we're looking here at teaching, and Brother Brown says that's why I didn't preach this morning, because I want to really get into this. I thought in teaching we would understand it better. All right, now, paragraph 61. Now he was saying that all of the Psalms and all of the prophets spoke of him. Well, therefore, that shows that all of the Old Testament or all of the New Testament And all of the psalms and the singing and the songs were sung of him. Take the 22nd psalm and sing it and compare it with the morning of the crucifixion. See, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? All my bones, they stare at me, they pierce my feet and my hands. Yet all these things there, them singing that psalm down there in the temple and crucifying the very one. See, those religious leaders, those great men, those great teachers, and yet so blinded. That was reading the prophets and reading the songs and doing the crime that they said they would do. The same thing is taking place this morning. Now, that's really an indictment when you think about it. The very things that they were singing in the temple, and then they go out and do them. And they don't even know that they're doing the things that they just got done singing about. That shows a blind condition of the people. Now, paragraph 62. Now listen close, because now I ain't going to even pay attention to the clock, what the clock says. I want you to get this, see? I don't care. See, so you can see here, basically, in the beginning, the very thought that God had in his mind, he hid it from all of those scholars. And that's just a number, a selected predestinated number, a predestinated people was the only ones that heard it. And search back the scriptures down through the age of the prophets and see if it wasn't the same thing. See? Now, and Jesus here, referring them to the prophets and the Psalms, he said, they all spoke of him. See? And here these Jewish teachers, these rabbis, these doctors of the law, professors, had did exactly like they had done before. So what Brother Branham is really nailing down, it's not your intellect. It's not your mind. It's a predestinated seed that's going to get this and nobody else. And notice again, he said, search the Scriptures, for they are they that testify of me. Search the Scriptures, the entire Scriptures. Now why would Brother Branham say it three times like that? I tell you, he's really hammering this. What am I trying to show? To show you that the Bible is the thing that's right. You know, when we have people that ought to be teachers because they've sat under a ministry, a teaching ministry, and they ought to be teachers, and yet they have need of being of needing milk. When a man can tell you and say, well, I don't care what Brother Branham says, as long as, in fact, I'm not interested in what Brother Branham says, as long as a vindicated prophet, I'm not interested in what Brother Branham says. If I didn't hear from Lee Vail, then I don't care. I don't want to know. Listen, brother, I'm going to tell you here, Brother Branham is really hitting it hard. It's vindication, nothing else. Not intellect, not whether you're a fivefold teacher, not whether you're a pastor, not whether you're an evangelist, not whether you're an apostle, not whether you're a priest, pope, whatever. It comes right down to this. Are you vindicated? If you're not, then you better follow along with what a vindicated prophet says. That's it. Listen. Paragraph 63. Now notice again, he says, search the Scriptures, they are they that testify of me. Search the Scriptures, the entire Scriptures. When we have people, look, I get really frustrated when I think of these things. When we have people say, well, if I had to choose between Brother Vail and Brother Branham and the Bible, I'd choose Brother Vail. That's insanity. And I'm not here just to harp on certain people. I'm telling you, get your thinking straight. God came down with a shout. Brother Branham said, I can only say what Paul said. He said, I'm not the one who's standing here revealing those things. He said, I'm just standing here while he's doing it. I'm just a voice that I lent him. He said, the Elijah of this day is the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not a man. As Brother Vail said to me years ago, he said, get your eyes off the vessel and look at the God who's using the vessel. And the God who's using the vessel is the Word. And he wrote it in a book for us called the Bible. I can't believe that men who claim to believe the prophet and then deny what he says to be the truth. Men today saying, well, I couldn't find a picture of it, or I couldn't find an article saying that people were witnesses. So I don't think anybody was a witness because I don't see an article. I can't find it on Google. Oh, brother, that was 1933. Another year from now, that'll be 80 years ago. 80 years ago. Of course you can't find it on Google. Google wasn't around till just a few years ago. Like I said Sunday, you'd have to throw out the entire book of Luke. Because they say, well, you know, how can we trust these people? You know, it's secondhand, so it's not even in court of law. It's not even, legal as evidence. Well, I'm sorry, but if that's all you've got to go on, yes it is. Well, let's start throwing out in the Bible. You know, Paul wasn't around for, you know, when he wrote the book of Hebrews. I mean, who's Paul? You know, let's face it, Paul, I mean, you know, he got it. He had to go to the apostles to check up his revelation. You know, he just got it from a light. Right? I mean, he just got it secondhand. You know, the insanity of what's taking place in this hour, people questioning, people doubting. They're doubting a vindicated prophet. How can you doubt a vindicated prophet? My word. I'd rather go to the extreme and take everything he says literally than to doubt the words of a vindicated prophet. Men who would argue with the prophet and say what he says is not in the Bible. Show me one man in this hour who knew more than the prophet of God did when it comes to the revealed word for this age. There isn't any. No, not even one. And God said, all of your righteousness is as filthy rags. And he said, your thoughts aren't my thoughts. My thoughts are higher than your thoughts. Well, there are some who knew the message fairly well. Brother Bell knew it fairly well, but he didn't have it perfect. Not by any means. Listen, Brother Vail would be the first one to admit, and he told me, he said, if I wrote the Church Age book again, it wouldn't have been 300 and some pages, it would have been 3,000 and some pages, because I didn't know nothing back then. And yet Brother Brown said, any of you ministers, any of you laity, have any questions, ask him, because he knows at least a little bit more than you do. And he didn't know nothing. And he didn't. He didn't. Even in his own testimony, he said, when Brother Branham said, the shout is a message. He said, personally, Brother Branham, I've heard you say, I heard what you said, and I don't think I can take it. I'm just reading his words. And something inside of me said, but when was he ever wrong? Well, I said, the shout is a message. Now listen, the Holy Spirit had to let him know he was wrong. He didn't have it all figured out. And neither do you or I. And for anybody to try to put a period after what they believe, Brother Brown said, that's where you make your mistake. Put a comma after what you believe and whatever the Lord would show you. Yeah. The Holy Spirit, we have a promise, says if you be any otherwise minded, He will reveal it to you. He'll let you know. Now listen, this tells me that had it not been for the Holy Ghost coming and correcting Brother Vail, he would have walked off from this message because he said, I can't take it no more. That was his own testimony. So let me tell you something. Brother Vail had his own mind to contend with, which was filled with a lot of denominational crud, and it was a real struggle for him to die to himself, and so it became a daily chore. And Paul had to do the same thing, and William Branham had to do the same thing. So don't ever get your mind made up to where you've got all the answers, because you don't. And the first minute you think you've got it all lined up, God will throw in a quote there someplace that'll just throw you a big loop. And you know what you're going to do with it? You're going to throw it out and say, no, that's not right. The Bible doesn't say that. That's not right. Now listen. I believe every word that the prophet spoke. And there is a justification for what he said and how he said it. Many times he told me. First time he ever told me this is in 79, but through the years he told me this. He said, Brian, he said, you and Alphonse were raised Catholic, and I find it refreshing to talk to you both because your minds are not filled with any denominational theology. And the scripture scriptures that you already learned from a denominational slant. Because after all, being Catholic, you might as well have been a rank heathen. You didn't know any scripture. And that's true. All the Catholics know is basically a few Bible stories about Joseph and a few of those prophets, and they don't even call them prophets. And then a little bit of tradition. That's about it. And so he told me that the people who come into this message from the Catholic Church or just rank heathens coming in have no trouble picking up what Brother Branham taught, whereas those people who came into the message from a Baptist or Pentecostal background have so much scripture they've already learned with a wrong twist that they have a constant battle with things that Brother Branham taught us. Well, that's true. Now, that's what Brother Lee told me several times, and I know by his own confession he had to die to leave El Sinking, and he struggled with that because he came to this message knowing a whole lot of scripture and many things he had right, but a few things he didn't have right. And he had to relearn them, such as whether the bride goes through the tribulation or not. He argued back and forth with Brother Branham on that. Finally, the Holy Spirit revealed to him that the word tribulation comes from the root retribution. And if we are under the blood, what retribution is there so the bride doesn't go through retribution? You see? But I say, why even argue with the prophet? If he tells you, then believe it, and then find it in the scriptures. And let me tell you something. If you think that you know this word and your thoughts are contrary to what this vindicated prophet has brought, then you don't know what you think that you know. Brother Brown continued in paragraph 64, said, the other day, standing in a hospital room talking, a sister had asked me to explain about denomination, why it was against denomination with some denominational people. You see, it's got to come back to the Word because the Word is God. When you read your Bible, you're reading God. Do you know that? You're reading God. That's God's Word. See? And Jesus declaring the same thing here, that the Word is Him. You can't make the Scriptures contradict itself. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word was made flesh. See? Now, paragraph 65. Now, here he says, search the Scriptures, they testify of me. In them you think that you have eternal life, and that's true. And they are the ones that bear record of me, and I'm bearing record of them. And if I do not the works that's promised that I would do, then don't hear me. But if I do the works and you can't believe me, believe the works. Because they testify that He is the Word. Oh, it looks like He couldn't be any plainer, see? All right? Now, search the Scriptures. He said, Moses and all the law and so forth and the prophets and the Psalms spoke of Him. And again, he said, the Scriptures testify of Him. Now, in a sermon, Spoken Word's original seed, Brother Branham explains this further about how these works were following Him. And he says, and testifying of Him, he said, now the body carries on those works. And does the works that the head commanded it to do. Tell me where he ever said organize. Tell me where the head says it's all right for women to cut their hair. Mention it. It's not there. Tell me where the head ever said, these works that I do, but you shall not do them. Tell me that. But the head said this, if you want to put down the Scripture, I'll give it to you. John 14:12, the works that I do shall you do also. That's his body, see? Now notice Brother Brown's telling us that John 14:12 is for the body. He says it is the body that does it. And yet I can take and show you a brother writing this message that read this from the Bible. I mean, read this from Brother Branham, and then he says the Bible doesn't say that. The Bible says he. Now why would a brother contradict Brother Branham in front of all those people? As if he knew more than a vindicated prophet. All I can say is God have mercy on anyone who would fuss with a vindicated prophet. I believe we've got to get back, brother, sister, to there's a message, there's a word of God, like Billy Paul says, you got the Bible here and you got the vindicated message here, and if the two don't line up, you'll never hit the target. You can't say, well, I'm going to put my own sight. I don't need a back sight. Yes, you do need a back sight. You can't see this Bible without seeing it through the eyes of a vindicated prophet. Now, let's continue with Christ as the mystery of God revealed, paragraph 66. He says, He is the principal theme of the entire Bible. And if you read the Bible and don't see Christ in every verse, go back and read it again. Now, if you come across something that a vindicated prophet says that seems contrary to what you've been taught, go back and read it again. Because, and then continue to read on, see if he explains what he's talking about. Like many times, there's a 12 times Brother Brown says Jesus is God, and then he says, because God was in him. Now, if you don't read because God was in him, you think the man Jesus was God, and yet you got then you'd have quotes contrary to that, because the other quote says that the man, the body, was not God, but deity dwelt in the body. You see, you've got to take all of what he says and take it back. But he says, if you read the Bible and don't see Christ in every verse of it, go back and read it again. And if you can't see Christ in every verse of the Bible, then you read it again because you've missed something. And that's where all the big fuss came a year and a half ago when I was going through the Spoken Word's original seed. And I said, and I was reading where Brother Branham said, now you say I'm a believer, Brother Branham. He said, well, I'm going to prove whether you're a believer or not. He's talking about you now. And then he reads John 14:12, and I said, uh-oh, I got a problem here. And I told the people, I said, we've got to be honest. We can't put a square peg into a round hole and say it fits the doctrine. It doesn't fit the doctrine. And when you teach that He is singular and only one person, and yet a vindicated prophet says, right, like we read just here, he says, that's the body. And you say, no, 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 the Bible says He. Just a minute now, go back and read it again. And go back and study that verse in the Scripture and you'll find it doesn't say He. It says whosoever. If you're going to be honest, brother, sister, you got to do a little bit of work. You got to do a little bit of study. You got to get yourself out of the way and say, God, I'm up against a wall here because I believe it this way, but it seems a little bit different than this. And then you find that God will always explain it and it'll become a greater and a deeper understanding to you. Then Brother Brown says, the Bible is Christ. He is the Word. And when you read, in the beginning God created, there's Christ. See? Every, and from that to the Amen in Revelations is is every word testifying of Jesus Christ. That's why these added books that's called the second book of Daniel and the book of Maccabees and Agus and Purgatory and stuff like that. See, it's not spoken of in the scriptures. See, it don't theme up with the rest of it. There's no place to place purgatory in there. There's no place to place intercession of saints and things. There's no place in there for that. There's no place for denomination. There's no place for creeds outside of the Bible. See? So when you see those things, they just don't come into the picture. And that's why people has added those and got their jigsaw puzzle all mixed up. That's why I say, that's where the confusions have come in. That's where the fighting has come in. When you say there's two lords and there isn't two lords, then you come back and say it's a fallacy. We shouldn't even preach it. And people continue to preach it. And the Bible says, "Behold, O Israel, the Lord thy God is one Lord." And the Apostle Paul says there's one Lord, one faith, one baptism. And then we come along and say there's two. And we're right, but the Bible's wrong. Then who becomes your absolute? You understand what I'm saying? Get back to the Word. Don't take it because I say it. Don't take it because Lee Vail says it. Take it because the Word of God says it. And line it up with a vindicated prophet. And you're not going to go wrong. But Brother Brown said, that's why people has added those and got their jigsaw puzzle all mixed up. See? They can't make it right. Same yesterday, today, and forever. But if the things put together right, there's the entire picture of the fall and regeneration, the whole picture of creation, and God's whole plan revealed right in Jesus Christ. Amen. That's the whole picture set together, every little crook and corner. It's just like, now I don't mean to be sacrilegious by this, but it's just like putting a jigsaw puzzle together. That's why we've got pictures today that looks horrible. We are believers, and a cow picking grass up on the top of a tree, it don't work. That's when they say, yeah, he's every way, but just of a certain. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever, all but for a certain thing. See, then you ruin your picture. The Bible said he is the same. St. John 5 or St. John 14:12, he said, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. Well, that was for another age. There you are. You got your picture wrong again. You got a man fishing out in the desert for a fish in a bunch of hot sand where there's no fish at all. See? You got to bring him back to where he's fishing at Galilee, where there's plenty of fish, you see? So, you got to make the picture look right. It's God's great picture, and there's only one way that you'll see it, that when you see Jesus Christ. There's the entire Bible. He's the principal theme of the Bible, you see? It doesn't take a vindicated prophet to do the works of God. It takes a believer to do the works of God. And it's not the vindicated prophet anyway. It's not the vessel. It's God doing it. And that's the whole thing that people just don't understand. You and I can do no more than nothing. But God surely can. God can use you. He can use you little kids to pray and bring healing. When Elizabeth was 4 years old and Christina was 3 years old, Chrissy had a temperature of 103 degrees. And I was, this is the time when Brother Vail was sick, 1984. I was taking services up there. And I'd go up on a Saturday night. We'd have service Saturday night, Sunday morning. Then I'd have to drive 2 hours to get to our church. And I'd just tell Tom Applegate, he was our song leader at the time, I'd say, Tom, just keep singing until I get there. And I'd bring my family up. We'd get a hotel Saturday night. They moved services up to 10 o'clock up there so I could get on the road by 12 so that we could be down by 2 o'clock because our service was at 2 o'clock at the time. Well, this particular time, Christina was very sick, 103 temperature. And it was half hour before I left. And so I said, Levon, if she's not better in a half hour, I said, I'm going to have to go without you and the girls. So you can just stay here and I'll go. So 15 minutes later, Elizabeth comes down, little four-year-old. She comes down and she says, Daddy, Chrissy's better. We can go. And I said, well, how do you know she's better? She said, because I prayed. Just as simple, because I prayed. I said, okay, let's go upstairs. We went upstairs, took her temperature. She was all better. Why? Because a little four-year-old child laid hands on her in faith and said, God, your word says that if I lay my hands on this child, on this person, that person is going to be healed. And what happened? God honored the prayer of a four-year-old child. Oh, no, no, that can't happen because she's not a vindicated prophet. Hogwash. That's a bunch of hogwash. God is more than able to raise children up from the stones how much more to heal a child from the hands of a child, or heal an adult from the hands of a child. Yeah, you don't have to have a preacher lay hands on you to get better. You go do it. That's right. Take your faith. Lay your hands on the sick and they shall be healed. I like that. Because Jesus said, unless you have the faith of a little child. You know what? Children seem to have more faith, I think, sometimes than adults do. Adults get their minds all clouded over with issues. Children don't have issues. Right is right. Wrong is wrong. Huh? All right. Paragraph 69. End of 68. Brother Brown said, it's God's great picture, and there's only one way that you'll see it, that when you see Jesus Christ, there's the entire Bible. He's the principal theme of the Bible. Now, you realize that any of those places here, you could take a text, and it's just hard for a preacher to hold his peace. He looked like he wants to keep going with it, but you got to go get back to what we're teaching on. He is the principal theme of the entire Bible. He was in the prophets, he was in the Psalms, he was in the history of the Bible. The Bible is a prophetic book, it's a historical book, it's a book of love, it's a book of songs, it's a book of life, and in there you'll find Christ. He was in the prophets, he was in the Psalms, he was in the history. He also, in the Bible, is the things that is to come. So he was before and for after. What does that make him? The same yesterday, today, and forever. And you inject something in there that doesn't make him the same yesterday, today, and forever, Brother Lee? Where do you go to? You got an awful picture there. For he was the history, see, and he is the prophets, he is the Psalms, he's everything. And if you can't make him everything and the same, what's your picture look like? Do you see it? All right. He is the same. He was the prophets. He was in them. He was in the Psalms. He was in the history. And he is the things to come. The same yesterday, today, and forever. Hebrews 13 and 8, if you're writing it down. He should be then, he should be the principal. And if that's what he is, and we believe it, don't we? Then if he is that, then he should be the principal theme of our talking, of our thinking, of our singing, of our walks. He should be the principal theme of our life. And if he is the principal theme of the Bible, and the Bible is in us, then he should be the principal theme of everything that we do and say or think should be Christ. Is that right? All right. As I said before, when your life is played back at the white throne, is everybody going to be watching you, watching a bunch of girly movies? Or singing a bunch of Elvis songs? Or rock or country westerns? Or will people be watching you, listening to tapes and singing songs of praise to Jesus Christ? Since we think this, since he's made the head of all things to us, the Colossians said so here, he's the head of all things to us, for he was made for us, which we are considered all things. And you say, well, what about the sinner? He was made to be judge of the sinner. And if you don't accept it, he was made the glory for the believer who does accept it. So there all things was made for him, and by him, and for him. And it takes the night, and this is beautiful here, it takes the night to express the glory of the day. It takes the vessel of dishonor to express the love and care for the vessel of the honored. It takes an evil woman that would wear immoral clothes and sell her morals to express the virtue of a decent, genuine lady. See? It takes the crook and the thief and a man to express the genuineness of a real believer, a real Christian. It takes the hypocrite to show up the believer, what he is. So, you know, so many people, remember the song years ago, excuses, excuses, we hear them every day. You know, and people say, well, I didn't even shake my hand. So they don't go to church because he didn't even shake my hand. And they got all kinds of excuses for not going to church, you know. And they say, well, you got a bunch of liars in that church. You got a bunch of people in that church. So what? So what? It takes the night to bring out the glory of the day. It takes the rain and the thunder and the like Brother Brown said, to clear the air. and all that rain to clear the air. You know, it takes an evil woman to show what glory, the glory of a good woman. Because of the same clay, he makes ashtrays and he makes vessels of honor. That's right. That's God's doing. So see, it's not the vessel. Who's using the vessel? That's what you should be looking at. Who's using the vessel? Hallelujah. He was made the glory for the believer who does accept it, you see. It takes a hypocrite to show up the believer what he is. So all things was made by him, and since he was made all things, made for all of us, all things was made for and by him, then since that is true, we should make our identification should be with him. We should be identified ourselves with him because he has identified himself with us. We should be identified with him. How? By living for him. Not just a confession. In other words, not just talking it. So many people take a confession and they say, well, it's got to the place now. Are you a Christian? Well, I'm a Methodist. Well, that's a long way from making yourself known as a Christian. Now, look what the Methodist does. It says, I'm a Baptist. Look what the Baptist does. I'm Catholic. Look what they do. See? But the only way that you can actually be a Christian is for Christ to identify himself in you. We got some stinger there. I hope everybody on the tape gets that too, you see. See, you see, oh, I'm Pentecostal. That don't mean a thing. Is Christ identified in you? That's when he's recognized you. You say, oh, I spoke with tongues. Well, devils does too. I shouted. The Mohammedans and Buddhists and everybody shouts. The Indians scream at the snake dance. See, sure. They all do. Cults, clans, and everything else scream and holler. They holler and shout at the ball games. But when Christ is identified in you, identifying himself, then you are Christ-like. Which the word Christian means to be Christ-like. There's your identification, all right? Now, and since he is our identification, then we should be identified with him by living for him. Let's bow our heads in prayer. The gracious Father, we thank you, Lord, for this message, although quite short. But to the point, Father, that we are Christians because of one thing and one thing only, that we are Christ-like. Help us, Father, where we fall short. Help us, Father, not to be looking to anyone, including myself. I don't want the people to look at me, Father, only to see Jesus Christ. And where they don't see Jesus Christ, may they pray for me. And Father, I just pray that each and every one of us would have the same desire in our heart for one another, that where we see Jesus Christ, may we truly be blessed, and where we don't see Jesus Christ, may we pray. For we ask these things in Jesus Christ's name. Until we all come in the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God. Until we all come to that place of perfection, that place of maturity, that place of being finished off. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. May the Lord bless thee and keep thee. May the Lord make his face shine upon thee.